O God, you are the first light coming through the void. You are the final light which we shall enjoy forever. Help us to welcome the light and walk in it always. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. On this third Sunday of Easter, we continue hearing stories of post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. Last week, we heard of Jesus appearing to the disciples in their midst behind locked doors that first Easter evening. As with the stone sealing the tomb, locked doors could not keep the risen Christ from among them. He appeared to them again a week later when the absent Thomas was then present. Offering himself completely to Thomas, as he had to the other disciples the week before, Thomas responds with the Christological climax of the fourth gospel, "My Lord and my God." These are the last words spoken by a disciple in chapter 20, which is considered by most scholars to be the original ending of the Gospel of John. Chapter 20 ends, as we heard last week, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." Sure sounds like the end, doesn't it? But like a Beethoven symphony or Yogi Berra, it ain't over till it's over. Our gospel reading this morning is the first 19 of the 25 verses of chapter 21, the real final conclusion to the fourth gospel. Most scholars, however, are of the mind that chapter 21 was added to the gospel sometime after the first 20 chapters were completed. This chapter is therefore viewed as an epilogue to the gospel that begins with a magnificent prologue. Of course, the big debate revolves around the question of just who exactly wrote this chapter and when. Scholars really do live for this kind of stuff. Opinions are split between the evangelist, him or herself, or a later writer. But all extant manuscripts, the earliest dating to the late 2nd century, contain chapter 21. Scholarly hair-splitting aside, the great majority of biblical scholars do agree that this last chapter of the fourth gospel is different in tone and in focus. It looks to the future of the believing community, that wonderful and sacred mystery we call the church. As we begin our reading today, we are at an unspecified time after the appearances to the disciples at Easter in Jerusalem. The appearance today is in Galilee. This gospel begins and ends with miracles of abundance in Galilee. An abundance of really good wine at Cana, and now an abundance of fish from the Sea of Galilee. In both cases, the miracles serve to reveal true presence and identity of Jesus to the disciples. Perhaps the best known and best loved portion of this reading follows the breakfast of fish and bread Jesus has ready for them when they get to shore. After they have eaten, the reading turns to a private conversation between Jesus and Peter. "Simon, son of John," Jesus says to Peter, addressing him as he did in chapter 1 when he first called him to be a disciple, and at that time gave him his new name, Peter. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Jesus asks, not once, but three times. "You know I love you," Peter responds each time, and each time Jesus responds, "Feed my sheep." In Peter's threefold confession of love for Christ, we remember the three times he denied even knowing Jesus not so long before, when fear and violence ruled the night, as the tragic and apparent mission-ending events of Jesus' arrest and execution played out before them. Without this epilogue, Peter would have remained mired in regret and unresolved guilt and shame over the desertion of his teacher and master. But Peter's shortcomings are not the point of this story. Rather, we are shown once again the abundant love and grace of God in Christ, a love of forgiveness, a love of acceptance, a love of inclusion. Jesus not only forgives Peter, but commissions him 3 times to feed my sheep. We can't help but hear echoes of the Good Shepherd who promised not to lose one of those given to him. He is now entrusting Peter to become the shepherd of the flock. Peter, who had once denied him 3 times in his hour of greatest need. We hear another example of such forgiving love in our first reading this morning. Saul, who would become Paul, was still breathing threats and murder to the disciples of the Lord when he was confronted by Jesus himself, asking, "Why do you persecute me?" And yet Jesus reports later that Paul is an instrument whom I have chosen. Once again, one who seems to have committed the unforgivable is commissioned to do great works in the name of the Lord. Once again, Jesus sees those he has chosen not with an eye to what is, but to the potential of what can be. It is how a ragtag group of essentially semi-literate fishermen have changed the world. Part of the forward-looking message of this epilogue chapter is that the risen Christ calls us all to live in the resurrection light, just as he called the disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. While self-examination and acceptance of our failures and shortcomings are certainly part of our growth process, we are not called to dwell in the past or on past mistakes, to live in regret or shame, but to embrace what lies ahead. We are all instruments chosen by God. As Easter people, we are all embraced by the wondrous love and grace of God. Like Simon called Peter and Saul called Paul, we are forgiven. We are chosen, and we are loved.